give. Father, thank you that we can come, we can be worship in the spirit of worship and praise. We honor you, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. He is amazing. He makes Jesus famous across the world. So we bow before you and thank you and ask the presence of the Holy Spirit over us. I know many of the children that we have that are not with us, Lord, we pray a blessing and a miracle for them too. Breakthrough season is at hand. And we speak the breakthrough. We speak the overnight turnarounds. Thank you, Lord, for restoration, for healing. Oh, this is a wonderful season of overflow and of glory and of confirmation who you are. Bless each household in this Christmas season, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit come and revive us. Renew us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When we come together, where two or more are gathered together, God says, there I am in the midst of them. I want to talk a little today about the I am. God is I am. Say I am. So he's not the great I was. He's not the great I'm going to be. But Jesus is always I am. So you can enter into the I am-ness of God. You don't want to so much. Religion and theology talks about history and in past tense and analyzes and dissects. And I used to be in pre-medical courses. We used to dissect animals. But we noticed that the animals were dead. So you dissect dead things. But the Word of God is alive and active and full of power. So you come to the Word of God, bow before the Word. The Word of God is alive, active, full of power. I do want to say that it's a joy for me to be here in Austin. I always look forward to being with Bill and Sue Hart. And so many of you are now lifelong friends. And I love, over the years, all these many years, nearly, 28, 29 years. And I've seen many of your children grow up from little babies. And I had a chance of laying hands on some of them when they were just little guys. And now they are grown, going to college. So there is something about relationships. God does not, that's one thing that I remember my mentor and apostle Derek Prince used to say, he's generous in many things, but he's not over generous in relationships. If you honor relationships and treasure them, then God will give you more. If you disdain relationships and consider them like fluff, you don't get that many. And yet it's so wonderful to have God-given relationships and you draw from each other's strength and anointing. So may you get an impartation even today. I'm praying the Lord wants to commission you fresh, that there is a fresh commissioning from the glory today for each of you, that God has purpose for your life. He has destined for people to be transformed and be affected through your life, through your witness. And it doesn't mean God saying, okay, you are in full-time ministry. You are, in a sense, we are all called to be witnesses. But we are called to do different things. That's all right. So get that impartation today. I do want to honor the leadership team here. I'm so impressed. I'm so glad I could share communion. It's one of the most wonderful moments. Don't ever miss communion. That's the other thing that is, whether you need it or not, you may not realize you need it, but you need it. As often as we get together, we are supposed to do this. And I remember when we would, Brother Derek Prince was perhaps among the premier top 3, top 5 Bible teachers of the last 100 years. Some of you, if you've never heard of him, you may look him up at YouTube. It's some of the most awesome, straightforward teaching of the Bible you'll ever get. very clear. He had a gift. For me, it's my, I mean, healing and miracles is kind of like my track record. For him was just the clarity of the word. But one of the things he understood was the essentiality of communion. And so when we would travel, we would be together traveling. We would be in Europe. We would be in Africa. Zambia was one of the places we ministered majorly to single-engine plane way in the interior. Or in Pakistan, that when we were on the road ministering, there would usually be a knock on my door. And after lunch, he would get in his pajamas. He was very British. And be standing with communion elements. And he said, it's time for us to have communion. Now, it wouldn't be Sunday. It would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. But he thought, as often as we were able to take communion, because you were drawing strength and blessing and drawing from the cross of Calvary, from all the benefits of Calvary. So when we do communion, come approach all of that in a lot of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. Anyway, I wanted to say I'm so glad Bill is doing well. I heard he had the surgery, and that's one drastic way of getting weight loss. But I'm claiming soon, Isaiah 40, you shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint, and not have to walk like John Wayne. That's good. But I really, really want to honor the maturity of what I see in the leadership here. Just so enjoy who they are. Darren and Jennifer, associate pastors, assistant pastors, and David and Anya. I got to see David hides behind the in that booth, and he's serving. But I'm glad for what they are. And Cheryl and Joel Davis, thank you for who you are. Bill and Stacy Reed, it's great to see you guys in action. How you have affected the fellowship. Rachel and Aaron Deckler and Todd and Elizabeth Plank. We just appreciate, I so appreciate Cheryl and her gifting. This trip I've had more time to be with Joel. Really honor the elders here, Jack and Pat Parker, Paul and Deborah Baker, Wes and Corey Jackson and Donna Triplett. Donna and I have been friends for, many years, almost 29 years, 27. I treasure these relationships, and you have my blessing over this church. It is one of the shining lights for Austin. The glory is over this community, and treasure it. And my prayer that you will get the Lord's glory is here. The presence is here. And so God wants to do supernatural place, things. There are certain places on earth that God has chosen as river places where you can come to taste of the river of God. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living God. But in Ezekiel, you hear of the river that comes from the presence of the glory. And wherever the river is, there is life, supernatural life. Hallelujah. So my blessing, I'm so glad I could be here this year too. And I always look forward to coming to Texas. It means Christmas time is here. Amen. So some of you may not know, but I may be one of Santa's elves, one of the best looking elves he has. Some of you may know. I've told you before. When all the .coms came along, we had MahesChavda.com, BonnieChavda.com, chowderministries.com. And I started getting tired of it. I just said, just put in good-looking evangelist. And people started looking it up. I said, we didn't find you. I said, okay. So I bought the domain name. So you can Google good-looking evangelist, and you will get the whole Google world recognizes there's only one good-looking evangelist on earth. And then Bill got jealous. And so I gave him permission to give good-looking pastor. Do you still have it? It's still available. Hey, I'm going to buy it again. I thought I was going to be kind. All right. We're going to go in the Word. I'm an ordained Southern Baptist pastor. I just want you to know I have a Baptist ordination. I was raised up. I mean, I went to Wayland Baptist University. And talk about being, I'm a brainwashed Baptist. I love Baptists. They brought me the Word of God, so I tease them a little. But people say, why are you all dressed up? And I used to do, I don't know how many of you remember John Wimber. You know, he's a great signs and wonders man. And started a denomination. But I used to do conferences for him. And he was very relaxed, Californian, and would preach in his jogging outfit, tracksuit. That's it. And then I would come and do some of the sessions in Anaheim, California. And I would dress up like this. And he said, Mahesh, please relax. You are in California. You make me nervous. Don't have to dress like that. I said, you don't understand, John. I went to a Baptist fundamentalist university. I'm brainwashed. Even when I go to sleep, I have to wear a three-piece suit. So it's just like you're trained to be a pastor. Now, Bill got delivered. You right? I mean, you were a Baptist too, weren't you? So, but I'm grateful for my Baptist heritage. How many of you are Baptist from a Baptist background? Yeah. I know definitely you are saved. I don't know about the others, but that's one thing they make. Are you born again? Then I know I'm going to heaven. Glory to God. All right. We're going to read a couple of scriptures here. One of my favorites from Colossians in the Message Bible. By the way, I don't know how many of you know Eugene Peterson. How many of you read the Message Bible? Do you? I enjoy, for devotion, I love to read the Message Bible. But the author, the guy who wrote that, was Dr. Eugene Peterson, and he was born Pentecostal, raised up in a Pentecostal church, but when he went to university, he went to a Presbyterian university, and so he started pastoring Presbyterian churches, but he was in his late 80s, and then his health started going down, and for the last few weeks. So he passed away in October this year, just recently. But he got so in the glory. And they said his Pentecostal roots came back, and he started speaking in tongues, singing, and talking to angels that were all around him. And then he was happy, just laughing and enjoying that season. And then the angels were so real around him. And then he smiled one time and he said, let's go. And then the Lord, he just was taken by the Lord. But the heaven was so real around him. And he just told the angels, let's go. That was his last words. from what I understand. Let's go. He was ready for heaven. That's the way I want to go when my time comes. So this is from the Message Bible, Colossians 1. It says that we look at the Son. So we're going to now focus on Jesus. Remember one of the first things I said last night, to overcome, you know, to get impossible miracles, to get where you want the impossible made possible. The angel of the Lord that comes at Christmas time, remember, and says to Mary, you will be with child. And then he says, nothing is impossible with my God. Say, nothing, nothing is impossible with my God. Now, see, I'm just shooting that word up. Don't take it for granted. See, it's coming from a rhema, from a servant of God who has had the chance to experience some of the things. You lay hold of it. I saw, when I talked about a visitation I had about the angel, that he was surrounded by a pillar of the word of God, different layers of words as a pillar of froth, just coming, circling around him, and I could take that word, and it was alive. So today I'm sharing with you, this is your word. If you take possession of it, it is alive, it's active, and you can say, the pastor Mahesh said, nothing, it's in scripture, Luke 1, nothing is impossible with my God. So now I'm going to dream big dreams for 2019. Nothing is impossible with my God. For some of the young people, if you want a scholarship, apply. Go, don't be shy. There are open doors that God wants to open in the glory for businesses, new businesses to arise in 2019. And God is saying, nothing is impossible. You will be able to achieve. So aim high. You will go somewhere. In the anointing, he will let you do some amazing things. As a young pastor, I was married Bonnie in 1976. I met Bill in 73. If you had told me I would be an author of 24 books and that they would be translated in 40 languages and be all over the world, I would say, nah. But the Lord, he made those things possible. There are things that God wants you to achieve. And you are going, you say, I'm too old. No, you're never too old. Tolstoy wrote his books when he was in his 80s. So nothing is impossible with our God. Anyway, we look at this Son. Say, look. We are looking where? To the Son. This is Jesus, S-O-N, capital S. Who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. So the moment you focus on Jesus, then there will be an expansion of your horizons, of your what you are receiving from him. Everything that was created, the purpose. So there is a purpose in all creation. For everything, absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him finds its purpose in him. So everything has purpose. But it's only in Jesus Christ. That's why we're not being bigoted or intolerant. This is the word of God that tells us. It's not you being intolerant. The word of God says every person will find its purpose in Jesus Christ. When you have Jesus, you have purpose. You may not have clarity in it, but you have purpose. You're heading somewhere. Your end days are determined. You are going to spend it in eternity with Jesus and all the saints. It's fun. It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to that time. But right now, you are supposed to do certain things. Anyway, for everything, absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, all the angels, everything got started in Jesus. And finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence. And holds it all together right up to this moment. So everything, whatever you see here, whatever you see all across the world, it's being held together by Jesus Christ himself is holding everything. If it was not being held, it would be just up there, floating. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does the body. Now, this is a mystery, because his ultimate creation is his church. His most glorious creation is the church of Jesus Christ. So, in God's heart, this community and every community that breaks bread and exalts and worships Jesus, that was the ultimate expression of God's glory. He was supreme. Jesus was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he's supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything and everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured out down from the cross. So we did that just a moment ago. We rehearsed his death, burial, and resurrection by receiving the bread, which represents his broken body, broken for you, and the blood that was shed, that is living blood, the most powerful agent in the universe for miracle glory, for whatever, is the blood of Jesus Christ. We can plead the blood. That's why when I take communion, I am in the, I always, and I try to point out that I am, by faith, my children today, as I'm receiving the blood of Jesus, my children are blessed. The household is blessed. Because in Exodus 12, you find that God says, through the power of this lamb, through the blood of this lamb, I'm bringing you out of slavery. All the yokes of poverty of 400 years are being broken. Right now, the shackles are broken, and you're coming out with silver and gold loaded so that you can claim, in a sense, in the spirit realm, you're already millionaires, coming out with silver and gold because the blood of Jesus has been shed for you. So this is part of that. All the purpose we need is found in the death, burial, resurrection. From it, it's a beginning of just a journey that's awesome in the glory. All right, so I wanted to begin with this saying, the purpose, we have a purpose, and everybody else, all the broken pieces come together only in Jesus Christ. So we don't have to apologize to anybody when we say Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. And then, so we come to this season right now, and it says, and you'll probably see this in the many of the greeting cards, in Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. So you can, putting that Colossians 1 with connecting it with Isaiah 9 now. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. So his name unto you, unto us a child is born. That's in Bethlehem. Unto us a son is given. As Jesus Christ grows up, and the government then, as he's resurrected from the dead, entire weight of government, of governing the universe, is upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called. And therefore, I just wanted to kind of go over a little bit about the name of Jesus, because unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful. What is his name? Wonderful. One of the names. So every name, as we say the name of God, then it's not static. The name, I am Jehovah Rapha. make a journey, go into the name. See, it's not, we're not to be observers only, but it's a portal. All these names of God are portals. You can come and knock and go into inside the revelation of I am the Lord who healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord. So these are not just Bible, nice Bible studies. Okay, his name is wonderful. Wow. What it's all of its wonderfulness is open to you as you approach his name. God has given you an introduction into the wonders of the glory of God. His name is wonderful. You approach, you worship him, and the wonders of the glory of God will be released over you. His name, wonderful. Wonderful in its birth. Wonderful in its life. Wonderful in the signs and wonders and miracles. I mean, it's and I pray in the coming days, may God do so many things in your life that are wonderful that it'll freak you out. May you have experiences. So it's the Bible is a living experience. It is, there are portals of glory all over, and you want to enter in by faith. And the Lord will let you see. I got to minister in Baltimore this year. I was asked to do a special one night gathering. And there's so much hunger. I want you to know that there is, you can look at the dark side or you can look at the light. Because arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Darkness will cover the earth. Deep darkness the people. But my light will be seen upon thee. So there is, if we focus on the darkness will start defining you and consuming you. You want to look at the light and don't allow any toxic atmosphere, toxic thinking get you to be defined by the darkness. It's your responsibility to see that you stay in the light and help others stay in the light. Help your husband, wife, son, daughter, whoever, to always focus on the light. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is rising upon you today. The glory is rising. Say, the glory is rising. And his light will be seen upon thee. See, and Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So all of this comes from Jesus. But you want to shine, and you want yourself to be in the light and not in any way let any darkness grab hold of you. And as you make this, these names of God, I hope I have a little bit of time to talk to you about some of the names I'm thinking about during Christmas. By the way, we sing about the Lord, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Marvelous, Mighty God, Everlasting. Have you, you know, I love to listen to Handel's Messiah at this time of the year. And let it, and his name shall be called Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince. And when the Hallelujah chorus, by the way, when Handel's first performance, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, as they sang that time, the first performance was done, I believe, the King of England was invited. And as they played that, let the King of Glory come in. The king himself of England stood up. He says, I can't remain seated. This is the king. We are celebrating the King of Kings. I also will recognize he is the King of Glory. So that's the Lord holds it so dear. Anyway, so may the Lord show you wonders this coming year. His name is wonderful. Well, it's an active name. It's not a passive name. You declare his wonderfulness, you will see his wonderfulness. So I was in Baltimore. One of the things was that happened was they have had Marilyn Hickey, Kenneth Copeland, a lot of the big names. And suddenly, they had the biggest parking problem because this was the highest, that church has been in existence about 30 years. This was the highest amount of people turned up, so they had no parking in around all of the streets. It was such a hunger. We were packed out. I said, we have never seen this before. And what makes me, not, I don't think it was so much me, but it's like there is a hunger out there for reality. And it's beginning to, may you have that same in Austin. I saw that in Baltimore. So, but I remember some years back when I was in Baltimore, many years ago. And they were packed out. And the Teen Challenge was very active at that time. And so I remember this incident that they went out on the streets and brought in all the prostitutes. And they said, God wants to do something for you. Come. And so they lined them. The first row was, I mean, there were 12 prostitutes that you could see immediately by the outfit they wear, that they were not regular people. And they didn't ask my permission. They were there right in the front row, and everybody's eyes was on them, you know. And I got embarrassed because they wore the shortest skirts I have ever seen. And so I would avoid, started preaching this way, and didn't even look. And I, inside, I was grumbling that those guys had not even asked me to, you know, can they put them on the front row? Because I'm the speaker. They should have asked me something. I mean, they were just, oh, man. I was so embarrassed. And I wanted my thing, well, I'm so glad Bonnie is not here. It's my wife. So ignored them. I gave the invitation, and all these 12 prostitutes came up to get saved. And I did a quick prayer. This was a salvation invitation. They all came, they were standing. And they were crying. I mean, the Holy Spirit was all over them. And I was still embarrassed to look at them. And I started explaining something else to the audience. And then I looked around, and all 12 were on the floor, slain in the spirit. Nobody catching them. They were on the, they were weeping, and then they were raising their hands on the floor and singing in tongues. And I told the Lord, wait a minute. I've not prayed for them to be filled with the spirit. But the Lord is under the impression he is God. But what I noticed was each of them, the short skirts, I'm sorry, but in their thighs, on their arms, were all these needle marks of, they were, you know, taking heroin and all of the junk, and they were addicts. And as they started on the floor, raising their hands, the mascara just going down their faces, singing in tongues. And suddenly, one after the other, I saw the needle marks go poop, all disappeared instantly. And the Lord was delivering them from those addictions. And I said, wow, this is for real, Lord. You are real. But over and over, I've seen these kind of incidents happen. It always freaks me out. I remember this happening. There was a lady from Hungary. Are you here? Wave your hand. Where are you? There was a lady. Huh? She's not here, yeah. But I was in Hungary, Budapest, in their big, they have a giant church called Faith Church that's got about 20,000 attend in this big arena. And I was praying. I had a word that I didn't realize, but there was rampant suicide in that country. And so I asked, anyone driven by suicide, come up here. And 1,500 answered. And they were lined up. And I said, now what do I do? Do I go down and lay hands on them? I'm confused. And so I was still kept talking. And Holy Spirit came. All of them fell on the floor instantly and got delivered. So, I mean, you see some of these things and you realize you had nothing to do with it. The Lord comes. He is, I want to just say, that's for me, some of the wonderful things. That another time, I remember a very rich man in Africa named Kilolo. He was governor of one of the richest provinces of the Congo and very wealthy. And he was attended my crusade in this city called Lubumbashi. And I was preaching and suddenly a woman with a big cancer on her throat, as I was just preaching, sharing the word, poof, the big cancer disappeared and it came normal. And it freaked him out. The governor looked at it, freaked him out, ran up. I'd not even given the invitation and said, I'm a wicked man. I want to give my life to Jesus. And he started confessing. I have been sleeping with other women. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm embarrassed by the governor. But he was so blessed and zapped by the power of God. He instantly turned his life around and became an evangelist. Anyway, wow. You see, I mean, when you say, his name shall be called Wonderful. I mean, he is so full of wonderful. And I am, my prayer today is, he let him freak you out this coming year with this wonderful miracles that you will see. So there is something, it's not a religious thing when you say, you are so wonderful, Lord, you do all of these things. And one of the other thing I want to just make comment, that my reservations, my conservative nature, whatever, I should not have thought of those prostitutes like that as a man of God. I should have had compassion. They were God's daughters. I saw that day. They were God's daughters. Jesus died for them. And he loved them. And that day, because he knew his daughters desperately needed the power of the Holy Spirit, he filled them himself. I didn't care what I said. Poof. And they were healed and delivered and came to the Lord. So he was going to do beyond what you and your capabilities are. Let him be wonderful. Say, his name is wonderful. And then second, he's counselor. See, he's my counselor. He will come with his counsel. If you are confused about direction, which direction to go for your life or this or that, he is your counselor. Wonderful counselor. The mighty God. Say, mighty God. He is mighty. He is so awesome. And may he do exploits in your life that are mighty acts. For he that is mighty has done great things, and holy is his name. Luke 1:49. And everlasting Father. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is at the beginning of creation, Jesus was right there, overseeing things. And he is our Heavenly Father in many, many ways. Of course, we have Father God, we have Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he is the everlasting Father. And Prince of Peace. Say, Prince of Peace. But this is in Hebrew, it's Shalom. Say, Shalom. He's the Prince of Shalom. And you say, well, were you there when we had the storm in the tent? You were there, right? Bill, you were there. You were there. And we had this tent. Now we have a big building, but our big meetings were in this tent. And a day before, I would get a word for conferences, Lord, what are you saying? And I was on a jogging track, and the Lord spoke to me. I said, Lord, I need a word. And he said, peace, shalom. I heard the shalom word. I said, well, that's a Hebrew Greek, shalom. And the Lord said, shalom. I heard him all around me, shalom. I said, well, shalom to you. What is the word? And again, I heard shalom. And I remember in that incident, there was a bee that was buzzing around me. My window was open and it came. And so I looked at the bee and said, to be or not to be? And real. And the bee sat on that old jogging track thing machine. And he went through it and came out flat, you know, crushed. And I said, Lord, what's your word? And third time I heard, shalom. And it, the power of the word hit that bee, and it, the head popped out. It got resurrected right there. It flew off. I said, well, it was to be. And so Bonnie was speaking the first night. And we had, I mean, I think about, we had about 1,400 people. And then one of the biggest storms ever to hit Charlotte came over us. And rain and wind, fierce wind. Some of the great historic trees were uprooted in this strong wind. And it was uprooting our tent and many of the ushers. That was kids. And what they wanted me to do, I was up sitting on the stage, and the first miracle was I was able to stop Bonnie from talking. but don't tell her that. Anyway, I realized what, when he said the word is shalom. And if you remember, I stood up and said, addressed the storm. I said, in Jesus' name, shalom. And instantly, the storm ceased over this entire, what, 800 square miles was hitting that. It instantly stopped. Now, see, that's shalom. When you can speak. And there are things happening in people's lives. And God wants you to, whatever devastation, you can come because you know the Prince of Peace. You can say, in Jesus' name, shalom. And bring the peace of God right there at that instant. So we want, I'm just saying, these things are not just for us to speak, but take possession and make this an avenue by which God brings blessing and healing and shalom. Prince of Peace, say Prince of Peace. And he is Emmanuel, God with us. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God is with us. God, say, God is with me. That's what basically it means. Take possession, therefore, he is with you. Therefore, you are not alone whenever you are in situations. People get nervous when they say, okay, there's someone that's got stage 4 cancer. Can you come and pray for them? Well, don't ever feel like you're alone. God is with you. And you will see, as you get this revelation, that you will see more results of the glory miracles. We have seen so many these last few years of stage 4 cancers go instantly, overnight, into remission. So I'm praying a lot of you, don't get nervous when, or terrified. I've seen people, I'm supposed to go to a hospital and pray when I don't know what. Nope, God's going to do great things. Psalm 126, God is doing great things for us and we are glad. So Emmanuel is God with me. Say, God is with me. And his name shall be Jesus. The other name, the Lamb of God. I talked last night about the Lamb. So behold, the Lamb of God. John seeth Jesus, says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the whole world. He is the light of the world. I am the light. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am. Entering into the I amness, he is the good shepherd. He's going to guide you. And He lays a table for you in the midst of your enemy. The Lord is my shepherd. In 2019, I shall lack for nothing. So you bring it into your life, into other people's life, and give them, commission them. The shepherd is literally in your life. He is not going to let you lack anything. He is the Alpha and the Omega. These are, I was quickly read to you, like in the 12 days of Christmas, these are some of the 12 names of Jesus I'm thinking of at Christmas time. He's Emmanuel, he's Counselor, he's Prince of Peace, he's Wonderful, he's Mighty God, he's Everlasting Father. Let all of these blessings come to you. The one thing other that I wanted to mention, and I want to pray with you in a few moments, is that one of the things that I've really been praying about, and I feel like it's as we commit ourselves to be the church, that one of the big plays hitting this nation is the opioid plague, addiction. That even the president mentioned this, and several other people in authority, that we have had this last year 70,000 Americans died from opioid addictions, from overdoses. It's like a major plague hitting, and it's hitting not just people who are uneducated or come from lack, but middle class homes. They are finding that husbands, wives gotten addicted with fentanyl, other things. I don't usually do that, but I felt like it was a desperate situation. But a young man who had just major challenges, I met with him and prayed with him. But he had tried to commit suicide several times. And the main reason, he's just a young man, is the addiction. It is destroying in a major way people's lives. And what you find is that it takes over people's minds and their priorities change completely. And it's the drugs that is controlling those lives. And I believe that this coming year, the Lord is going to give us tremendous grace to pray for deliverance and the freedom of anyone who is addicted. That the only answer is not, and I'm speaking as me, but I do not see, I mean, they may try to help, but counseling is not the answer. It is the power of God and the name of Jesus that will set the captives free. So Jesus literally says in Luke 4, as he comes, as he's released into ministry, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to set the captives free, to preach good news to the poor, but set the captives free." That captivity is the part of it, I would say. Any kind of addiction, there is, of course, different kinds of oppressions people have. But I want you to know that Jesus, as we celebrate Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, that he is caring for all of these people who have been bound up in addictions. And one of the commissionings that I said a few moments ago, you're being commissioned. But I believe part of the commissioning is for the church to take up this prayer need desperately. During January, I'm going to call the community at the Watch and our church and others to a 40-day fast. But if you guys, anyone want to join for a few days, but I'm going to be praying for that grace for deliverance to come for our nation, that people, and that may they be able to stop all the addictive pills coming across the border. But there are manufactured pills called fentanyl that's even worse than opium that people are getting addicted to. And we have seen so many people delivered in the name of Jesus. And that's as we celebrate Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful. We want to activate. There is active energy in these names. When I stood up, these guys were there to see that in a moment, this giant storm stopped. Because in Jesus' name, Shalom. Say Shalom. So may Shalom come over you. And part of your homework, read up, if you're interested in this, read up Mark chapter 5 is good. Mark 5, 1 through 20 is the story of the Gadarene demoniac who is possessed. See, and these people are either oppressed, taken over, but addictions are powerful. It's taken over people, and then they behave. They don't care about families. They don't care about their jobs. They don't care anything but getting the drug. And they're basically headed towards destruction if we don't come in. And I'm praying God's going to give us mercy and the grace to set these captives free. The anointing is coming, I believe. And God's going to use many of you to help pray for these people to be set free. And I remember some years back, I met a sister from Zimbabwe. I remember right next door, Congo is not far away, that I was doing this. There were thousands came to Jesus. And God told me to see if I can baptize them. So we arranged for them to meet me at the Congo River. And we baptized. We have still the names of 3,000 people we baptized. We took the names, and we have it still on little notebooks that we had our assistants write down all the names. And as we were baptizing them, from down the hills came this young lady. Well, I don't know how young she was, but she had been completely taken over. She was like the Gadarene demoniac. And that's in Mark 5, that's the story. The demoniac who was possessed, basically totally taken over by demonic powers. And the reason I'm talking about this is because when people are addicted, basically they are taken over. And the people are driven to suicide often. So it's really it's an emergency almost in our nation that we get a fresh anointing to see the captives free. So anyway, I was at the baptism and this lady ran down and she torn clothing and she was like the Gadarene demoniac. She had lost her mind and when she demanded that those people say, I want to swim. She thought we were swimming in the river. We were baptized. And they say, you want to swim? Come over here. They took her in, some of the other pastors on the other side. I would have said, do you believe in Jesus? Can't baptize you. They didn't care. They brought her in. And now she just ate things people would throw at her. She was lived in the bush. Totally gone. Mentally. And they took her. And they say, in Jesus' name we baptize you. And they dunked her in. When she got out of the water, she was completely restored. Delivered. 2 years later, I was flying from one place in Congo to another. And a stewardess came up and served me. And she said, Brother Mahesh, do you recognize me? I said, no. She said, I was the woman who was had lost her mind and got baptized. I got trained to be a stewardess afterwards. And I have a job. And she was a stewardess. Anyway, so Jesus came to set the captives free. At this Christmas time, I am so glad that people all over the world, if they have Christmas trees, if they are singing songs wherever, that we used to, when we first got into believing the Lord, doing the ministry, I think we went through the in the early 70s, we would have all kinds of teaching. Oh, Christmas trees, no, no, we don't have Christmas. Wait, did you go through that? Oh, Christmas trees, all that. And I said, get over it. It's great. The world is recognizing Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The more they recognize Jesus, the better it is. But we want to help realize this was, it changed the history of the universe. It changed our history. And that the Lord has come to bless us, to heal us, to save us, but also to deliver us. And so I have seen so many deliverances this last year. And I feel like God wants to raise up an army of men and women ready to take out the great, take practice in their day-to-day life, the Great Commission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to set the captives free. And then this morning, I just want to pray that may you also, any shadows that you may have come over you, shadows of fear, of doubt, of unbelief, of any kind of addiction, that the Lord would set you free from any kind of depression, discouragement, hopelessness. These are toxic influences of demonic things. But when you are around the name of Jesus, they have to flee. All right? So any depression, if you have depression, if you have fear, if you have any kind of shadows this morning, I want to say Jesus came to set the captives free. As he set free the Gadarene demoniac. And he came, you know what? When Jesus made the trip across Galilee, it wasn't to minister to be cried. It was just for one person. It was that Gadarene demoniac that he set free. And he spoke to the evil spirit. And there is, you have to address any shadow and say, be gone. And you have the authority. That's why I'm saying, relate to the names. Make them your possession. Mighty God, he is the everlasting Father, and he is mighty, awesome. Every demon has to bow to the name of Jesus. Therefore, you know, talk about the name of Jesus. He has been given the name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. So when you hear, like when we sent Bonnie, my wife, to be at the Kavanaugh hearings, and she had special pass to be there every day, and she was covering it. Out there and even inside, there were literally witches doing their incantations, and we have pictures of them. They were in their witches outside, witches outfits, doing they were speaking these demonic things. And there is, but don't for a moment ever be afraid of those things. The name of Jesus is about every name, and every knee bows to the name of Jesus. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We don't need to withdraw. We need to take territory in the coming days, realizing and having a fresh revelation. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Give him a clap offering. And we have seen so many changes in this. I want you to stand up. Hallelujah. And his name. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All right, raise your hands. Father, I bless each of these here, and I thank you that you came to set the captives free. Now, Lord, we pray, anyone who has got any kind of oppression, any spirit of fear, discouragement, depression, addiction, or in our families, Lord, be free, set free, Lord. Say after me, if you don't mind, pray with me. Say, in Jesus' name, I proclaim Christ has redeemed me through his blood, and any curse is broken over me and my family. Any oppression over me, my family, has to go in the name of Jesus, through the power of his blood, the cross, his death, his burial, his blood, his resurrection, his sacrifice, his empty tomb, his authority, his rule, his dominion. And in the name of Jesus, I declare, I and my family are free from any shadow. I command every shadow of fear, oppression, depression, addiction, be gone from my household. I bless each of my family members. I plead the finished work of Jesus Christ against all shadows, all curses over me, around me, around my family, spoken or unspoken, transferred to me. No power against me can work because of the blood of Jesus. Lord, you know shadows that would be oppressing my family, my finances, my home. I break every curse and I command shadows of infirmity, sickness, addiction, depression, anxiety, rejection to be gone in Jesus' name. I break the power of witchcraft around me, in me, over my house, through the blood of Jesus. Curses are broken. Infirmities have to go. Oppression, I am free through the blood of Jesus. My family is free from any shadow. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for setting us free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give him a big shout. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God.